All sounds, images, personalities, and opinions, for that matter, owned by the originator and are intended for satire and interpretation. Oh, I fucked it up. Never mind. Go ahead.
You wrote it down.
I've read it.
On the iPad, and you still fucked it up.
Let's start the show. Where's the open button? All right, Dude Nation, welcome back. I'm that sexy son bitch, Johnny Stoddard. With me, as always, is
Danny J. Anderson
and
Tony Nash.
And today we're going to be reviewing WCW's Road Wild 1997.
It's going to be mild.
I see what you did there, because the tagline is it's going to be wild, but you didn't think it was a very good show, so it's going to be mild. Tell me what you're talking right before the podcast about how we usually have a Slim Jim.
I do usually have a Slim Jim anytime there's a Macho Man match, and I decided that today it was not worthy of making an appearance, and I went with a rival company.
Wow.
If you ever had this shit's delicious.
We're going to give a quick shout-out to Jack's Lynx.
Yeah, Sasquatch, you know. TJ Wildside. I watch too much TV.
Yeah, so, all right. So, spoilers for Danny J's closing notes on this, whether he enjoyed the pay-per-view. But Tony Nash here, he loved it.
It was so good. That was it.
Well, I know why you loved it so much, because it had Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
We're going to get to
that. I owe somebody an apology.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about there, slap nuts, but don't piss him off, okay?
Don't piss him off.
Don't piss him off, because you know what's funny? Jeff Jarrett's not around much longer.
No. He goes to WWF where he doesn't do shit again.
He doesn't do shit, and then he jumps back to WCW, where he finally does something. But I guess we will, in fact, get to that. So, it's, what day is it? It's August 9th, 1997.
A Saturday,
and we are coming to you, well, first, let's get that 1997 feeling, because, you know, that's what I like to do.
Still number one, huh?
Still number one. Kill him. Well, the poor man had just died, so.
I mean, in March.
Yeah, well, the number one movie was Conspiracy Theory, starring the great Mel Gibson before he had his racist rants, and Julia Roberts. It opened to $19,313,500.
Not a bad movie.
Yeah, you know, well, it made a lifetime gross of $137 million. Seems underappreciated. I wonder if another podcast would deal with some of that.
Why? This movie's shit.
Exactly! Number one song on the radio was I'll Be Missing You, Puff Daddy featuring Faith Evans and 112. Other interesting things that are going on in the world. On August 3rd, Garth Brooks had a free concert in Central Park.
Didn't they, like, record that?
For HBO, very good. On August 4th, 185,000 Teamsters, UPS drivers walked off the job. On August 6th, Microsoft announces it will invest $150 million into Apple computers.
Go figure.
I bet that worked out well for them in the end.
Probably.
So they, you know, so what they're saying here is that back in August of 1997, August 29th, 1997, which was what day? Special day for you sci-fi people. August 29th, 1997, anybody? If I say with the Arnold Schwarzenegger accent, would that help?
Sure.
That was supposed to be Judgment Day.
Oh,
that's right. Okay.
In Terminator 2.
Didn't it change? They changed it like three times.
Well, Terminator 2, they said that's what the date was. But anyway, so they're telling us in here that Microsoft bought into Apple, so they have us. And you think you're really buying Apple. It all goes to Bill Gates.
Well, I mean, based on, you know, the thing that we just watched, I could understand that being Judgment Day, because it ain't much worse than it can get there.
Okay, Doom Nation, so let's grab a fruit punch, squeeze it in some 3D Doritos, because it's time for WCW Road Wild 1997.
Do you remember the 3D Doritos with the commercial with the chick in the laundromat?
Yeah, she was, yep. What was her name?
Allie Larder.
That's her.
Not Allie Larder.
No,
Allie Landry.
Landry. Yeah.
Landry. Allie Larder was the girl from Varsity Blues.
She also got naked as that, so there you go.
And her whip crane bikini.
That's exactly correct. Excuse me, I need to refill.
Maybe someone will talk about Varsity Blues another time.
That one is maybe underappreciated.
It's a good movie.
This podcast brought to you by Jim Beam.
I don't know if Dusty and Bobby the Heenan were Bobby the Heenan were drinking during Road Wild. I sure was. So I figured if we're going to talk about it, I got to continue. So hold on.
Well, we are.
Keep going.
We are live from Sturgis, South Dakota here for the famous Sturgis Motorcycle Extravaganza with an attendance of 6,500 people. And its tagline is, it's going to be wild.
Didn't they say like more than once that was over like 20,000 people there?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Might have been for the Sturgis rally. There was 20,000 people. But for this particular event, not so much.
Yeah, all that space taken up by motorcycles.
Because you hear motorcycles revving. Yeah. And then if you listen real closely, you can hear it. Wow, is that getting lighter? It's because they're driving away.
As much as I want to stand in a crowd of carbon monoxide.
All right, so we have with a video package of how NWO is trying to take over, but they're crumbling as Flexi Lexi has recaptured the WCW title. This may be a shock for you guys. Well, it isn't now because you've already watched it, but were you a little confused when you saw Lex Luger had the WCW world title?
No, because I watched the Nitros.
You watched the Nitros. Tony, how about you?
Yeah, I watched them too.
Really?
No. What's a Nitro?
I actually specifically remember that Nitro because it was
the go-home Nitro before this.
And Lex Luger won. So I was still watching Nitro.
Lex Luger made Hulk Hogan submit. It was 5 days prior to this event on Nitro because they wanted to do something special. Because it was 100th Nitro.
Who did he submit last time before that? Was it Giant?
No. Luger?
Yeah, he just submitted somebody with the rack the last time.
He's been racking everybody. And that's kind of the deal.
But we didn't expect him to submit. And I was like, wow, that was cool. I forget who it was. It was a while.
Kevin Nash, maybe? Mm.
Might have been Kevin Nash.
No. All right, so here we are.
Kevin Nash.
Not sexy. No, not big sexy.
Not big sexy.
Maybe it was medium sexy. Scott Hall.
Medium sexy. Does that make 120 or 120-pound Pete Kidd little sexy?
He is a little sexy. It's like we planned that.
Mm.
I did.
You fell right into it.
I did.
So all right. Apparently we rented a chopper for this
Well, yeah, because you don't have
gala.
Extravaganza.
They're flying all
And around. I was pretty sure Sting wasn't coming from the rafters on this one because there are no rafters.
Might come from a chopper, but...
He might fly down from the chopper.
That would actually have been really cool.
That would have been cool.
I think he's done that before.
Huh?
I don't know.
Anyway, so our first announcer here is old Tony Schiavone. He is here to tell us that 20,000 fans have packed the arena for this event.
What arena?
And
that was my question, like, where's the arena?
And we're all wrong. Remember, we said, what is it going to be? Who's going to be in what leather? Who's going to be in denim?
Yeah, none of them are in leather.
Tony's in denim, and I can't tell. I think Dusty's in denim, but that shirt's a little suspect.
Dusty's in some kind of vest of...
Dusty's in a cut-off denim.
Bobby's in some kind of trash bag thing.
Bobby's in one of his leisure suit jackets.
Mean Gene. My God.
Oh, we'll get to him.
Let's get to that guy.
There's a few people we're going to talk about.
All right, so we have a sleeveless Dusty talking about how the WCW can take over with some key wins. Baby.
Some key wins, baby. They win one or two matches, the NWO will be running, baby. And WCW in the tradition where the big boys play will be back on top.
I think it was a lot like that. Tony, what'd you think of the open there?
Damn near.
Were you excited to see our dream team back together again?
Yeah. Pretty much when those three sit down, it makes it way easier to watch anything.
You know, I know, like, in years, like, right before they closed, Dusty and Bobby weren't doing commentary.
Fuck that.
It's like, we should do a fast forward. Fast forward to 2001, Greed or something like that.
That was the last pay-per-view.
I thought it was Sin. Greed, one of those.
One of them.
All right, well, anyway. That we do a fast forward and, you know, see the difference, where we're going.
No, I don't know. I honestly don't know how much of these I could watch without their commentary. Their commentary adds so much.
It does. It makes it,
bad matches enjoyable sometimes.
I think Dusty and Bobby would just say some off-the-wall shit that make it funny. And you sit there and you listen for it.
So even Tony's funny once in a while.
Not very.
Especially when he calls them out.
Yeah.
But we'll see some of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get right into our card here. Opening match sees Vicious and Delicious versus the Harlem Heat. Now, what do you think about old Vicious and Delicious? Old Buff Bagwell and Scott Flash Norton.
Well, I think it looks like a before and after pick. Because Scott Norton's a slobby white dude, and Buff Bagwell's cut and has a fake tan. So
I think maybe, you know, Scott Norton ate Buff Bagwell.
Maybe.
Maybe what happened was Scott Norton ate Scotty Riggs. to take over his place in the American Males. American and now we had males. Vicious and Delicious.
American Males. American. Great, great song.
A little repetitive.
Gets right to the point.
So what are you talking about? American Males. American Males. So what do you think? What's funny is Scott Norton is supposed to be like a legitimate badass. Like that's the rumor. But you look at him and you go, all right, well, he looks like a big, strong guy, but he seems like he's having a hard time walking around.
Looks like he'd fit in at Sturgis.
But, you know, I can't see him being that much of a badass. Like, if Scott Steiner grabs a hold of him...
Oh, Jesus. It begins.
That's all that's all she wrote, baby. All right, so let's get into the match. So I was curious to see how the crowd's going to react to NWO tonight because, you know, they have that same biker look to them, especially these two. Harlem Heat is out first, and they look weird to me without Sister Sherry.
Also, Stevie Ray almost busts his ass. Did you catch that?
I missed it.
I missed that too.
He comes through the curtain, and, you know, it's all dirt, which is fucking stupid. They should have done something about that. Pet peeve number one. There'll be plenty more.
He's got them listed.
Oh, he's got them listed.
No, I don't have them listed.
He doesn't have match notes. He has a list of pet peeves.
So, but he damn near trips and busts his ass, like, the very beginning.
Wow. But, yeah, recently, Sister Sherry had parted ways with Harlem Heat. And I expected her to have some kind of team that she'd bring in to feud with them, which would be logical since, hey, they broke up. Nothing. I mean, I do see why Harlem Heat is wrestling NWO. They are chasing the tag team titles. They're always right there in contention. They're just right behind the Steiner brothers. I won't do that every time I mention them, I promise. But I can see why they'd be wrestling the NWO B squad, which is Vicious and Delicious. So... let's get to the match. Booker T and Bagwell start the match, and each are jockeying for position. Eventually, Buff gets control and brings in, you know, the legitimate tough guy, Scott Norton. I mean, he's no Ming. He's damn sure no Fresh Ming, because you just can't hurt that man.
But he's all right. Did you catch Tony Schiavone call Buff the power guy? And then Dusty corrects him. Like, no, that's Flash, baby. That's Scott Norton. I was like, wow.
Look how thick he is.
Dusty is still sober.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten his drinks yet.
Unfortunately, Dusty's still sober. Not that I want Dusty to drink, but it's entertaining when he does. But not as entertaining as when Bobby does.
One last two, watch them again.
I guarantee you they were not allowed to drink that much.
I'm sure.
Because if you get so incoherent you can't talk and your job is to talk,
yeah,
that's bad.
Well, I mean, it was a Hulk Hogan match. There's not really a whole lot you have to say about that.
I know. My notes on that are really short. Stevie Ray comes in and gets his stuff in on Scott Norton, and I'm trying to figure out which is the heel team at this point because, as I recall... That too,
actually. I actually have the same row. Which group is the heels? I can't tell.
Because as we were coming in, NWO was heel. But Harlem Heat has also been a heel team as of late. So this would make this opening match... for this big, giant pay-per-view where they gave away all of these tickets because, you know, Sturgis and they didn't make them guys pay to go. It's heel versus heel tag team. Okay, sure.
I mean, that right there says everything you need to know about what they think about this pay-per-view.
Yeah. So anyway, Dusty tells us that NWO was on the ropes. Well, we're about to drive a stake into the heart, if you will.
Yeah, baby.
Buff ends up on the outside, and I'm looking at this point. I'm like, wow, it's on the platform again. Someone's going off that sumbitch. The match has some solid tag team work at this point, with Harlem Heat controlling most of the match, which I guess makes them the heels. So that would mean that NWO was working face.
That's just dumb.
So the Miss Jackie comes out. Oh, I forgot to mention that Vincent is out with NWO.
You didn't forget. It was just easier that way.
So Miss Jackie comes out. And Jackie looks at the camera and says, "It's on now, baby."
And then everybody went, "Oh, man."
Tony tells us that this could be the surprise that Harlem Heat was talking about, because they had been mentioning for a long time they have a really huge surprise, and this is going to be...
I mean, Jackie has two huge surprises.
So, then this is going to really help the war against NWO is Jackie.
It's a big bitch.
Jackie's going to help the war against NWO.
You saw what she did to Chris Benoit? Kick that guy's ass.
Really?
No.
All right, sure, why not? So the finish comes when Vincent goes to pull the leg of Stevie Ray, which brings him to the outside, and he's fighting with Buff. Scott Norton, him too. They both hit this great shoulder breaker, but Jackie jumps on the ropes and just starts to whoop him on Stevie Ray.
On Stevie Ray?
No, I'm sorry. It was on Booker T. On the future five-time WCW champion. And he's doing the stupid hand thing. So as Jackie is attacking Scott Norton, Booker hits him with two Harlem sidekicks, and Booker gets the three as Jackie holds Scott Norton's leg.
Under the rope, which should have been a rope break. We won't say anything about that. So anyway.
So they start the pay-per-view with a heel versus heel with a schmoz finish.
Who's surprised?
And Tony, what'd you think of the match? Give me the.
I think it had 4-2 count or 5-2 counts.
Four or five, somewhere between them.
It was five.
We'll call it 4.5.
It was five. To me, the match was not very exciting. To me, Booker seemed tired, like going in, which usually he.
Well, he might have been out the night before drinking and partying.
He looked.
So.
He looked tired.
He might have been hanging out with Flair.
Tired from Jump Street. Nothing particularly interesting happened in this match as far as I was concerned. I gave it 2 finger pokes. It didn't really do a whole lot for me, but, you know, I guess they're not doing their streak of good matches in the beginning anymore. So.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go next.
Sure.
Because, screw the order.
Why did there have to be an order?
Exactly. This is the NWO style.
You're saying it's like a new order.
The new world order? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For life.
I wouldn't have minded the heel versus heel tag match because it's for something. They're both, tag team thing. So heels got to wrestle each other. I'm fine with that. I don't like Jackie coming out. I don't think she has anything to Harlem Heat. They don't need mouthpiece.
Well, if you're going to do 2 heels, then it out. You know, they actually, horrible shit to each other.
They actually do need a mouthpiece because neither one of them are very good.
I don't talk about sucker. Did not just say that.
At this point, Booker T was not good on the mic, so they did still need a mouthpiece.
Well, you don't get good by not doing it. I'm just saying. I don't think they needed somebody else, and I get, they had Jackie signed to a contract, and they had nothing for her to do. Okay. Better than making her NWO, I guess. I give it 2.5 finger pokes.
Okay. So, it was a match. It was...
it was a match. Good analysis.
Technically, he's right.
Again, I agree with Tony. It looks like they've decided we're no longer doing great opening matches anymore.
Which is a shame.
And we're going to start with shit so that, we're going to get everybody excited at the start of the pay-per-view and then we're going to kill it. And then we're going to try to get back that emotion and no amount of alcohol is going to help. But that being said, it was an okay match. Nothing to write home about. I wouldn't tell you to go out and watch it. It's a top 10 classic. I'll go 2 finger pokes.
Now, do you think this, what do you call it?
Match?
Roll call, whatever you want to call it, lineup. Do you think this is reflective of because last year maybe they didn't do the numbers they thought, or maybe the people weren't as excited, or so they're like, hey, we're just going to throw a couple of good matches in and a bunch of whatever because it's mostly free?
I think WCW at this point has realized that they have to put on 12 pay-per-views a year because WWF has put on 12 pay-per-views a year, but they don't have enough juice in some of their storylines to have good, solid matches every single pay-per-view. So they have to have 1 or 2 good matches and then turds.
So they're going to do the turd one where most of it's free.
Yeah, and I think that they kind of do what like WWF does at the end of 97 after the Montreal thing where they just try everything and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of what you see here based on, there's a couple of people that we haven't seen in our timeline really a whole lot of. So, I think that's what they're doing is trying to see what sticks and move forward.
Well, I can see where they're throwing stuff against to see if it sticks. I support that. I think it's a good idea. However, I think they have a lot of guys that they could have done things with but just didn't.
Also, I don't think the Luchadors would have got over at all in Sturgis. At all. That's why you only see the one match.
No, I agree. I don't think Luchadors would have got over at all. As it was evident of the Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, him too, match from last year's pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. That was easily the best match on the card, and that just got slept on.
And the treatment of Booker T. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they wrestled Stevie the Steiner Ray Brothers but
last year,
so that's why they didn't get... They got
I think there may have been some other reasons, too.
Well, I'm going to say nay-nay to that because they wrestled Vicious and Delicious this year, and it wasn't that much heat.
No, but there also wasn't a lot of applause when they came out either, and there wasn't a lot of
they're heel teams
for them. No, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Speaking of luchadors, let's go to the next match. Nope, first we're in the back with Trillionaire Ted, who has just aligned himself with the Steiner Brothers.
I had forgot that happened.
Yes, because the Steiner Brothers had brought him out, Ted DiBiase, because reasons.
Yeah. I don't want to be in the NWO anymore.
So, yeah, he left NWO, like, right after the Macho Man attacked Eric Bischoff. Yeah. That whole thing. And yeah, the Giant left.
Yeah. He was, like, not as happy with the way that the direction was going. I think the problem was is they realized we have way too many people in the NWO.
Like, almost everybody?
So we need to try and do something to counteract it and create more stories. So let's take one of the original people, Ted DiBiase, who, I mean, of the original people was probably the least of anything, and well, give him somebody else.
The thing was that NWO, they had Ted DiBiase as, like, their mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric Bischoff decided he wanted to be the mouthpiece. So then they had nothing for him to do. So they just did away with him. So like, all right, well, he's still under contract. Put him with the Steiner Brothers.
Good call.
It's kind of like he left, and so did VK Wall Street. Which is, and he's not really with WCW either. Like, his gimmick is that he's an anti-WCW guy, but he's not with the NWO. And like, they're not.
They don't need a third faction?
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. So, I don't know. He's not on the pay-per-view, so no reverse chinlocks of doom. But our next match is Rey Mysterio versus Conan. Now, Conan had just recently, within a few weeks of this pay-per-view, had joined the NWO, which I thought was a nice fit for him. His Cholo gimmick that he's got going on here did not fit with the Dungeon of Doom. Never liked him in the Dungeon of Doom. He upped and left the Dungeon of Doom. Was solo for a while. And just decided one day that he was going to join the NWO. And Scott Hall and Kevin Nash themselves both blessed him and made him NWO.
Yeah, for life.
Dominus Amos. So the storyline going in here is that Rey Mysterio Jr.'s leg had been hurt when he was wrestling Kevin Nash. So he'd been out for a while.
Was that true? Do we know if it's true?
I can't confirm or deny that. But you have a Coke that says Hannah, so that's
good. Yeah, Coke's doing the name thing again. So this Coke is for Hannah. If we have a Hannah that listens to the podcast, I'm going to drink this for you.
There you go. All right, Hannah.
So kind.
Hannah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Hannah.
So Rey Mysterio, no, I'm sorry, Conan has been wrestling Mexican wrestlers because they're all upset that he has turned their back on him. Which is funny because it's the exact same storyline when Conan
joined the WCW.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. They were all pissed off at him because he had turned their back on him. So, let's just recycle that.
Why not?
Do you think that anyone's paying enough attention in WCW these days? Aww. Damn it!
DJ said it's Jack Daniels or Jim Beam.
God damn it.
All right.
I'm going to have to be sober for the rest of this.
So this is a Mexican death match.
So, oh good, Mike Tenay is here to talk about what a Mexican death match is. But first, real quick, I got to point this out. During one of the Nitros, Mike Tenay was on commentary for Ultimo Dragon versus Steven Regal. And the professor himself said that Regal was the only American that's going to be in a Japanese tournament here coming up soon.
But he's English.
And then he was cut off right away, but I believe it was Tony Schiavone, goes, he's not American. To which Mike Tenay didn't say shit. Because there's Mike Tenay just making shit up again.
No.
And this one was so bad that even the announcers were like, you sound like a fucking moron. So, yes, hey, sir. Mike Tenay, if you want to come on the podcast and explain that, no.
Dusty went to get a drink in this match, so Tenay sat down for him. And we're all weaker because of it.
But Tenay does give us the rules for the Mexican death match, which there is no DQ. There must be a winner.
And you have to outweigh the other guy by 100 pounds.
Sure, why not?
By the way,
I'm Tony Schiavone. Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. We're out of here.
We got to meet our quota.
That's true. We do have to meet our quota. But in the Go Home Nitro coming up to this, Conan was being El Douche. And
Ray is that Spanish for the douche?
That's right. And Ray comes out on his crutches, and he hobbles himself all the way down in the ring and hops into the ring, comes up on his crutches, and Conan's kind of looking at him like, I'm going to hurt you because you're on crutches, la na 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 poo poo. And then no, nay nay. Ray is fine, and he kicks Ultimo Dragon, fucking Conan. And
you're wishing for Ultimo Dragon, aren't you?
I really want Ultimo Dragon on this pay-per-view. He's a ninja
kick the damn rabbit.
Yeah. Nice. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, correct.
But he broke a wooden crutch over Conan, so that really sets up this match.
Wooden crutch.
Yeah. It didn't snap. He's taking bites of his Slim Jims over here, folks.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
It's teriyaki flavored.
Nice. All right. So, also on this pay-per-view, no biker match. Not like last year. Where they
also, no crowd reaction. And I don't count the fucking bikes thing. Because
that got annoying.
They could do that whenever because it's Sturgis. Also, the guy with the horn.
Yeah.
I wanted to fucking shove the guy with the horn up his ass. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You mean Xavier Woods?
No, his is funny. This guy is just dumb.
Okay, so the match starts and with Ray going after K-Dog, which is what they've dubbed him now. And they go back and forth until K-Dog gets the upper hand and goes all for the after the hyperextended knee of Ray. Ground attack by Conan and dominates the match for most of it. And at one point, he brings Ray down and attempts to take off his mask. And in fact, he does take his mask off, and Ray holds it to his face.
Real quick.
In,
go ahead, finish what you're saying.
In desperate need of keeping his face.
Yeah, he didn't want anyone to see it.
Yeah. He's really ugly.
Again, another thing that triggered me, a pet peeve number two. Why do people rope break in a no DQ match? Conan is at the ropes, and Rey Mysterio is holding on. And the ref is just like, I don't know what you want me to do. It's no DQ, but... Conan's like, oh, well, I guess I better let go. And he lets go of all the fuck down, wrench on that motherfucker. Grab the ropes for leverage. Fuck him. Make him uncle.
Ooh, uncle. There was no uncle references.
There was no, because there was titty baby. There was nobody that was going to uncle
anybody. You know what the opposite of uncle
is? Won't hear.
The opposite of uncling?
Ain't.
Ain't. Mm-hmm. Ain't no ain't. Opposite of uncling.
Ain't uncling. All right. So the announcers tell us this would be horrible if this happens to Ray. Oh, my God.
I mean, it would be horrible.
Yeah, because only a couple of years he's going to take his mask off anyway. But we'll get to that.
That's because Bischoff could make him do it.
Yeah, well. So the mask does come off, and this is when the motorcycles rev. Because that seems like a good time.
Yay, we want to see some skinny Mexican's face!
So Ray's unable to put his Ray's able to put his mask back on, and he takes over. He attempts a double springboard, but botches it a little bit.
Yeah.
Lands on his head. And Conan, being a good ring general that he is, immediately goes after him and starts pounding on the knee.
I do like how the cameramen keep angling the camera so you can't see Ray's face, like behind Conan's ass and around Conan's leg.
Yeah.
And like you can't see. I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
Then Lismark comes out.
Bismarcky.
That was my favorite thing in the last podcast.
That was pretty funny.
So the Bismarcky.
What?
No. I was very upset that he was not on this pay-per-view.
Damn it.
All right, so the finish comes when Conan hits the cradle DDT onto Ray.
Oh,
and then
so good.
That is a cool move.
So good.
That is, and then it's, I don't think he needs the tequila sunrise for the submission victory, but why not?
Hey.
Bobby Heenan recaps the match, and Bobby asks, I wonder how much ink there is in this town. No, really. You know, tattoos?
Tony's oblivious.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean?
And Tony talks about the rally and how crowded it is around here. Danny J, what you think of this match?
I enjoyed this match. One of the few, I don't want to say shining lights, because, I mean, at this point, you know, like a hall light or a small light in the middle of the night still provides some illumination in the deepest darkestness of this fucking pay-per-view. But,
God!
There's two...
Nevermore.
There's two moves in this match that are fucking amazing. The belly-to-belly suplex where Conan puts him over his head was amazing. And that cradle DDT. Those two moves... Plus, it's not your typical Ray match where he's going to jump, flip around and shit, but they still told a good story. Conan worked the leg. You know, he's beating the shit out of this little guy. And in the end, he actually succeeds at it. So I really enjoyed it. I gave it 3 finger pokes.
Tony?
There was a 1-2 count. as far as the match goes, I really like both these wrestlers a lot. I'm not a big fan of Conan's gimmick with the, you know, the cholo thing, but hey.
That's not going away anytime
soon. At least he's not Glacier.
I think he still does it, actually.
I love his somersault lariat. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it. He's the only wrestler I've ever seen do it, you know. I love the La Via La Raza. Everybody's
Viva
like,
La Raza.
Crickets. They're like, yeah, dude, we're not into that. We're South Dakota.
South Dakota.
We're not Mexican.
Try again. South Dakota, dude.
I like Conan a lot, but again, he seems to run out of gas pretty quick whenever I see him wrestle. And again, the fake camera angles was silly. But overall, I enjoyed this match a lot. And maybe not one of Ray's best matches ever, but still damn good. And I gave it 3 pokes.
Wow. All right. So I thought this should have been the opening match.
This
would have been the match you should have started with.
Definitely agree there.
Just flip-flop the first, second match. No big deal.
Yeah.
Better match, kind of get the crowd into it.
If you flip-flop them, the other matches probably would have got a little bit better, more heat, just because you started off strong.
Right. But you know, other than that, it was a decent match. They had a story they told. Conan's a dick. This is why he's a dick. He's gonna be a dick, and Ray's gonna try to fight from underneath, but he just doesn't get it done. I gave it 2.5 finger pokes.
Okay. So what'd you think of Mean Gene's temporary tattoo?
Oh God.
You know, I thought it looked pretty good.
For a temporary tattoo.
So Gene speculates about two managers coming to WCW, and one of them is a former world champion. And for the life of me, I can't figure out who the hell it was.
Coming to WCW?
Yeah, who comes in right now as a former world champion? That's what I said.
Well, I mean, at that point, they were pursuing Bret Hart. They could have very well been. They were trying to.
He wasn't a manager.
Oh, were they talking about managers?
Yeah, they said two managers coming in, and one was a former world champion.
One was a former world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have no idea.
See? I know they wanted Bret Hart.
Unless it was Harley Race.
Would he be coming? Okay. I'll buy that, but he wasn't there. See? We got nothing. Tony, who was it?
Coco Beware and...
Coco Beware is not a world champion.
No, he's not. It was the Mountie.
No.
I mean, Al Snow.
And, oh, God. I mean, everybody wants him.
I don't know. I have no fucking idea.
So on to our next match. We have a tag team match, which was the Chris Benoit and the uber-popular Mongo McMichael.
I got something to say about this match when we're done.
When we're done? Okay, good, because there's a spot for you to talk after the match.
Good.
So it works out nicely.
Look, just because I've been drinking doesn't mean you have to be an asshole.
Versus Jeff Jarrett with Deborah, and for some strange fucking reason, Dean Malenko.
Now, I have a theory on that. I thought that this was a bring your shitty wrestler to work match. So Dean Malenko brought Jeff Jarrett, and not to be outdone, Chris Benoit brought
Mongo.
He's like, I win. He's like, no. I've got Jeff Jarrett.
Now this and Deborah.
And Deborah.
I brought Deborah.
Well, you win by default.
Yes. You definitely have more shitty.
And this is just barely. This is an elimination tag team match. Which I'm like, all right, why does this elimination?
I never have seen this match before, and I called it. I straight up called it.
Like, ha-ha.
When I watched this match, I was like, man, that was predictable as fuck.
Well, the storyline going into this is that, as you remember from our last pay-per-view, Deborah had Tony, you remember when Deborah left Mongo?
We'd done other pay-per-views.
Remember at Halloween Havoc?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember now.
Deborah had left Mongo.
She took the suitcase.
And had aligned herself with Jeff Jarrett. And so Jeff Jarrett decided he needed backup in this fight because he's going against the Four Horsemen. So he contacts Dean Malenko, who he had taken the U.S. title from. So, you know, what you do is you find the guy that you had just stolen the title from, and you make him your partner. And at first, Dean's like,
ballsy.
I don't know if I want to be your partner, but I understand that you need backup in this day and age. So when I want, you know, good, legitimate backup, I'm going to go with Jeff Jarrett. And the face that you're making right now, Danny J, is the same face that the world made.
Really?
Like, you're fucking Dean Malenko. Why don't you get a fucking stable of killers? You know, Kurt Hennig just got here.
Go get Chris Jericho.
Or why not Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit versus Jeff Jarrett? Because they match a little better. I know there's a feud, but...
A horseman.
Horseman, baby. Well, Dean Malenko will eventually become a horseman. Spoilers.
Deserves it more than...
Then Mongo.
That's
Mongo.
True.
Mongo leaves, his replacement is Dean Malenko. And it's like, wow. Well, there wasn't a whole lot you couldn't get any worse than Mongo. So
that's true.
There's only one way to go, but there's a big gap in talent between Mongo and Dean fucking Malenko.
So yeah, a little bit.
At the beginning of this match, when they're beginning the process of, you know, starting it, mm-hmm. there's a scene where they show a woman on the screen, mm-hmm. and Dusty goes from "I'm having a point" to "Oh my God, look at this!" And he says, "I'm flabbergasted."
Yes.
Flabbergasted. Baby, I'm flabbergasted. Give me a minute. So Tony has to take over speaking for him. I laughed and laughed and laughed, and then he's like, "I was trying to make a point here."
I don't know what it was.
It doesn't matter at this point because, baby, I thought it did it.
So what's funny about this is that when you mentioned that the camera, whoever's in charge of cameras, they were finding the women in the audience, yes. and they were zooming in on the whole pay per view. Yep. Like that was their deal. They just kept finding the women, and they're like zooming in on that.
That was
zooming
on that.
I don't know if they were hoping that there was going to be a boob shot.
I'm thinking possibly.
Well, that one lady had NWO spray painted on her chest.
The one lady was wearing like chaps
and
like a white thong, and had the boobs, and I was like,
Yeah, there was a...
I mean, put a bag over your head, I ain't bad.
Put a bag over your head. What's wrong with you?
Jesus. Chef's pleasure bag. Well, you know, to be fair, it's Sturgis. At that point of the day, I probably would have been on my second 12-pack of beer. Maybe my first case has been done. It should have looked pretty.
All right, so moving on. Here's another heel versus heel match.
Yay.
Because...
Well, the Horsemen don't really count as heels.
Yes, they do, because right now Ric Flair is such a heel.
They're the Horsemen. They are the most over-faction, except for NWO, which I don't even know if I'd really call them a faction. They've been there forever. Yes, they can do no wrong in some
Flair
of these
just
counts.
Turned on Piper, and they're acting as heels. The entire, you know,
it's Piper.
Every night they're acting as heels.
And what's going to happen to Piper? He's going to go back to fucking with Hogan.
And there is Spoilers. No way that you can't steal another man's wife and not be the heel. So Jeff Jarrett is definitely a heel. Because remember what the Joker said?
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
That's right.
Unless the man beats her. Then you can rub a rhubarb, I guess. But you have to kill the man. Because that's honor.
That's right. So speaking about being honor... Yeah.
Off the rails we go.
Hey, look, we left the pay-per-view behind, David. Yeah. All right. So
this was about the time I discovered the fucking horn. And I was like, all right, I'm done with the fucking horn. I get it. Yeah. You have a horn. Good for you.
You know, this is in here. I'm going to tell you a little earlier. I said, is there a young Xavier Woods in the crowd? You know, who doesn't quite have his shtick down yet, but he's still playing with the horn. So we get a tease right off the bat of Benoit versus Malenko starting the match. And I'm like, oh, yeah. This could be something. Keep Jeff Jarrett and Mongo outside. We're going to have a hell of a match.
No.
No. Uncle Slapnuts comes in. Malenko tags in, and the pace quickens. I just hope these two stay in the ring long enough. You know, this is Malenko and Benoit finally get in there, and they start doing their thing. So, we got a tag, and rather than have a singles match, these two would be better to just have a singles match. Get rid of Jeff Jarrett and Mongo was my note there. And then it turns to a shit show because Mongo tags in.
Let's be real. Mongo is a shitty wrestler. But there is one thing he can do, which are power moves. If you give him easy power moves to do, you hide the fact that he's a shitty wrestler. So what did they do? They gave him easy power moves to do. They hid the fact that he was a shitty wrestler. They did in and out tags. And it made Mongo look better. I'll be completely honest with you. This was the best I've seen Mongo look yet.
Well, it's also easier to do power moves when you're a foot and a half taller than everybody else.
That's true. Yeah. But if that's all you're gonna do is power moves,
hey, and Hulk Hogan made a career out of leg drops and chops.
So
and use,
yeah, and use.
I laugh every time he does that now since you've said that.
I'm Tony Schiavone. Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell.
Thank you. That's two.
We're out of here.
All right, we're good. But anyway, so Benoit and Mongo continue to do frequent tags as they go to work on Dean Malenko as Jeff Jarrett stands on the side and plays with his slap nuts. It's about 6 minutes of just these two guys tagging in and out and doing work on Dean Malenko. But finally, Dean gets the tag to Jeff Jarrett. And now you're thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Jeff Jarrett and Mongo in the ring. And
maybe a comet will hit.
It's like, so this is when I got up to go take a leak. No. I would have missed something interesting. Because what happens is Jeff Jarrett throws a couple punches and he hits Mongo with a jawbreaker. And then he pulls Mongo on top of him to get the three count. And he runs out of the ring and points to his head. Ha ha! I'm smart! Right.
He fooled us all.
He got us. Because he's not going to let that Mongo get a hold of him. This leaves Dean Malenko alone to wrestle the Horseman. How do you think this worked out for Dean? Not well, no. Now, what I would have liked to seen is Mongo go ahead and chase Jeff Jarrett out of the arena. They both get into a car and drive to...
Off a cliff? Like Thelma and Louise?
I don't want them to die. I'd like them to go to Smoky Mountain Wrestling and stay there.
Jim Cornette would run those fuckers out of town.
I know.
And you know it.
Yeah, well. Anyway, so...
Smoky Mountain Wrestling was dead by that point anyway.
Was it?
Yeah. I think so.
All right. USWA?
I don't know.
Okay, moving on.
ECW, send him there.
No, Sandman beat the shit out of those guys.
Okay, so where's the downside?
All right, moving on. So, Xavier Woods is in the crowd, and as you can tell. So the finish came when Mongo was tagged in and hits a tombstone piledriver for three. That's all I'm going to cover on that. So let me get this straight real quick. Mongo got both pins.
Technically.
Yeah. The Ben, all right, so match is over. I'm gonna go first. The Benoit Dean stuff was really good as this match can get. I only gave it 2 finger pokes because of the other shitty people that was in it. If you had just left those two in the ring, like if it was just the 10 minutes before Jeff Jarrett got involved, I would have gave this more finger pokes. But I'm only giving it 2 finger pokes because it just pissed me off. Okay, you can go now, Tony.
I had 3 2-counts for the first match and 2 2-counts for the fake second match. Like I say, I'm not going to review any matches anymore that have anything to do with Mongo. And I wanted to apologize to DJ and see if there's any room in the fuck Jeff Jarrett boat.
Oh, there's plenty of room.
Okay, cool.
Plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
Oh, that's pretty full.
I gave it a poke and a half.
Wow, poke and a half.
That's just because Dean Malenko. I continue to say that as far as Mongo goes, they hid the fact that he's shitty by doing the moves that he can do, which are the power moves, and frequent tags with Jericho. Or not Jericho, Benoit.
Benoit.
Frequent tags. It made them look better as a tag team than obviously Malenko and Jarrett did. That being said, Jarrett is terrible. The match was not
Jarrett
really...
Jarrett is terrible.
The match wasn't really even a match. It was... it was essentially a handicap match with a bullshit in middle thing. And I feel really bad for Dean Malenko, who basically got his ass kicked, but because of that.
And isn't this the third fucking pay-per-view in a row they've done this to us? Where they have a tag team, and then one guy leaves?
Basically.
Flair did it, and then what? Piper did it?
No.
No, Flair left.
Flair left.
Somebody else did it, and then now freaking...
Either way, I gave it a 1.5 finger pokes, mainly because it was not really even a match.
Yeah.
It was a beat down from the get go, and I really do feel bad. Now you understand why I said Jeff Jarrett did nothing in WWF, went to WCW, did nothing, went back to WWF, did nothing, went back to WCW, did nothing, said, you know what? I'm a main event guy. I'm going to create my own fucking place.
Well, I will say I enjoyed him when he did the Don't Piss Me Off and he had the guitar stuff and he was breaking guitars on people.
At that point, I say he did do something.
I enjoyed that.
He was a good heel then.
But on this shit, when all he does is pretend he's Ric Flair, even though he has no fucking business doing that,
yeah,
I can't stand him anymore. I keep waiting for him to get good, and he doesn't do shit.
We have a couple years before he gets good.
Yeah, so
fuck, he will get so good. I disagree with you that he didn't do shit in his next WCW.
You know what? He did okay in his next WCW, and then he really blossomed as a performer when he got to TNA. You know the company he created so he could get himself over?
Yeah, but he had AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's true. But at first, what was it? Jeff Jarrett, King of the Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he created TNA to get himself over, and then when TNA ran his ass out of town, what did he do? He waited a little time and created Global Force to do what? Get himself over.
And you know, Global Force isn't a thing anymore.
So there you go.
They've merged with Impact Wrestling because Dixie Carter's out now.
Yeah, didn't Billy Corgan buy it?
No, Billy Corgan.
He bought the NWA.
No, Billy Corgan. Yeah, he did now, but he had bought into Impact Wrestling. Sorry, kids. Side note here, but he had bought into Impact Wrestling, thinking that he was getting an actual stake, and because that's what Dixie Carter had promised him, and it turns out that he didn't get any of that, so he ended up suing Dixie Carter. Wow. So they Dixie Carter ended up paying him an undisclosed amount and things of that nature. So then he bought NWA, which is nice for him. And Dixie Carter's out of TNA now. I think she still has a percentage of ownership, but she's not running it anymore. And Jeff, Anthem bought TNA, and now they brought Jeff Jarrett back in.
Jeez.
And, well, no, you know what? I got to say, I was like, all right, well, let me check it out. And they brought in a bunch of guys. I'm like, all right, this looks like it could be interesting. I'm gonna ride it out, see what happens. So stay tuned for the TNA podcast.
Yeah, I won't be on that.
I'm going to be all alone.
Yeah, you will be.
Because nobody watches TNA.
Watch TNA, just not wrestling.
Hey! Quick shout out to porn.
So we get the second awesome moment of the night here.
You're right. The second awesome moment of the night. Scott Steiner shirtless on a motorcycle.
No, that's not it.
Well, that's what we get next.
No, that's not what I'm thinking, but okay.
That was the very next thing after that.
You're right.
They did a commercial.
And then it comes back. And what comes back on?
Rick Steiner at the end.
Yes, the jerk Steiner. But after the commercial of shit, what's next? You get Chris Jericho's awesome WCW music in all its fucking glory. I wish you had a button for that.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. That's no, you're just shut the fuck up.
Awkward silence followed by I don't have a button for that.
That's all right, that's fine.
I have this button.
Oh, I mean, that's okay. And then you get Alex Wright's just fucking techno German bullshit.
Well, this is a cruiserweight match, it's a return match because Chris Jericho had lost the title to Das Wunderkind on Nitro. It was a pretty cool delayed German suplex that he pinned him with that I didn't think was the end of the match, and it was. Like, oh shit, that's over. So now Alex Wright is the Cruiserweight Champion. So Alex Wright's working this Euro gimmicky dance guy type deal, and it's funny because I've seen these guys in Europe back in 99, then I moved there back in 2002, and there's a lot of these guys who were just dancing around, these Euro dudes.
And all it did for me was go... Where's Disco Inferno? you got me all hyped about Disco Inferno, and then he's gone.
He's gone right now. He'll be back, actually. Like, this is the time. Like, he left for a little bit because reasons, but he comes back. So don't worry. You can boogie all night with Disco Inferno later.
As long as I don't do it with Alex Wright.
Disco Fever. Disco Fever. Yeah.
No, I'm doing my Alex
Wright. I know you're doing the Alex Wright. Danny J's doing the Alex Wright dance, which was, I don't know how to explain it. You put one hand up by your ear, one hand by your butt, and you kind of do a little stomp, and you do the other side.
Flip back and forth.
And that's all you do.
Wear lime green underwear.
Yeah, really.
That'll get you
like
over it.
Neon green.
Yeah.
All right. So Tony talks about how Jericho started the crack at the deal by taking the Cruiserweight title off of six. But Luger has really done something by taking the title off.
Oh, yes. Well, again, let's continue to talk about other matches during this match.
Yeah. So they lock up to start, and this is a little stalling by Alex Wright. They exchange dominant position, and Tanae tells us how both participants had fathers that were quite accomplished athletes themselves. And then I tuned him out while he was talking, so I don't know what it was.
Well, the one I don't know about Alex Wright, but Jericho's dad played hockey.
For the Rangers.
In the NHL. Yeah. So I get that. Mm-hmm. And he played hockey, and then, you know, they couldn't say the dungeon. They couldn't say that, you know, he trained with Stu Hart because, you know, reasons.
Brett's not there yet.
Yeah, but he trained with you know, Stu Hart in the dungeon. Mm-hmm. So.
And the crowd really doesn't care about this match at first, but they do kind of get into it about halfway through. It reminded me of that scene in Rocky where halfway through the crowd started cheering for Rocky in Rocky IV.
Rocky IV?
Yeah, Rocky IV.
He is not a man, he's a piece of iron.
Which I still say, you know, when that came out, I'm like, I don't think that would happen. Like, I don't care how much heart you show. You're an American in Russia, they're never going to start cheering you.
And if you do, they execute you.
Especially with Gorbachev sitting right there.
Yeah. Also, let's take a second to talk about how awesome Jericho's jacket is.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. The lion on the back. Yep. That was fucking cool.
You like it better than his light bright jacket?
Yes.
I don't know about that one.
No, that's pretty good.
It is good, but this was an airbrushed lion on his back. I thought it was pretty sweet.
That's it. You know what?
Whoa.
I gotta find... I'm killing my gimmick here, but... Here it is. Got it. Ouch. Tony, you just made the list.
Oh.
All right, so...
I wonder why I had that scarf on.
So where am I on my notes after I just dug in for a pen and dropped stuff
over
the floor?
That's your own fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was worth the gag. So after this, Alex Wright gets crotched on the rope. And Des says, "Today, what would you call that particular move?" He says, "Well, he was going for an atomic drop, and he got crotched on top rope, and then it was a springboard drop kick." Yeah, that. Oh, I love Dusty. If there's going to be a quote of the night, you know.
It's going to come from him.
Or a drunk brain.
So right now,
we're drunk
we start to see what will become Y2J in the near future. And I wonder if Alex Riley, he's cool, Alex Wright is on the list. These two guys are working a match and using good moves and giving you all that they have. They're really pushing it and moving it. Jericho goes for the lion salt, and Tony calls it the acai moonsault, and it's quickly corrected by everybody. Jericho does a double power bomb, which I never liked that move for him. That's not a move for him. He's not a power guy. When Brock Lesnar did the triple power bomb, it worked for him. But the finish comes.
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar only does like 10 moves in his entire arsenal and does them over and over and over again. So, yeah, I can understand why you would think that
would work. See, this pisses me off, okay? Now that we're talking about Brock gets over for only doing the German suplex. That's all he ever does. And he's so over. Scott Steiner came in.
I'm sorry, did you say he's so over?
Yeah, he's so over. So over. Anyway, I like his t-shirt, Suplex City. That's pretty cool.
That's nice. You know he's not going to perform again until Great Balls of Fire, and can we talk about that fucking name there?
Yeah.
So the name after the next pay-per-view after that's Tutti Frutti. And then Johnny Be Good. And I'm done. Anyway, continue.
And then Heartbreak Hotel. And
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
And we'll go to our Elvis time of the pot year. In 2018, all pay-per-views, all Elvis songs.
But gonna bring this back is one of those things that Vince McMahon was like, we're going to call the pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire. Everybody's like, yeah.
Yes, boss.
That's not very good. You're fire.
And then Stephanie was like, you better like it. I can't do a Stephanie impression.
I mean, you're not female, good. So. Anyway, can we get back to this?
Yeah, so the finish comes. And from the corner, Jericho goes for a roll-up, but Alex Wright rolls through and gets the three count. Again, in this match, I'm like, oh, that's it? That's okay, shit. I wasn't expecting the finish in the match between these two. It just ends abruptly. But, not bad. Danny J, tell me what you feel about it.
It's not a bad match. I feel like Jericho made Wright look better than he was, but other than that, I mean, it was not upsetting. It was the second best match that we've seen on the card so far, which, I mean, this is the fourth match, so you do the math. But, yeah, I gave it 2.5 finger pokes.
Okay.
Did you see the part where there's a guy in the audience that holds up a sign that says Alex Wright is the man?
And no.
And Tony goes, Alex Wright is the man. Who has that? And he starts laughing. And then also, if for some fucking reason you have government secrets and they're torturing you and make you watch this again, Alex taps out in the beginning. Did you see that? The first submission hold that Jericho puts him in, he goes and taps on the other side of the ref, and then he stops because he realizes he's tapping. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
That would have been cooler if that was the end of the match. Like, refs over there, all right, good enough.
Yeah, like, it's like in the first 5 minutes. If for some reason you watch it again, he taps Jericho, like, you know, maybe he's doing it too hard or he's not remembering what he's supposed to be doing. But
Could be.
Either way, yeah. Of course, give it to Chris for putting Alex over and being awesome, and Alex sucks, just like you said, DJ. I gave it 2 pokes.
Wow, 2 pokes.
I'm sorry, there were six 2 counts.
No, 6-2. That's good to know. So I thought this was a good match showcase, but Jericho was clearly a better wrestler here, and it shows that he's going to have a bright career, and Alex Wright, they're trying to get him over again, and it's just not working because, you know, he's a good, you know, lower card guy, but he's just not somebody you're going to push with one of your belts. I gave it 3 finger pokes. Best of the night so far. And we roll right into our next match, which is 6 versus Rick. Where are you going, Tony? Tony, sit down.
At this point, in my drunken stupor, I had an epiphany, you will. That I thought, you know, maybe in Sturgis, the way they cheer is by revving their bikes.
No. Yes.
No, never mind. That was dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not white trash. So
and we apologize all the white trash. We love.
I don't apologize. I have nothing against you folks, but this fucking place is terrible. And I'm not talking about Sturgis. I'm talking about Road Wild.
But Road Wild is going to keep coming back. They keep doing it
for 2 more years, and then they're finally like, you know, maybe it's probably a good idea, or a reason we're losing money. This is probably one of the big reasons we're losing money.
No, in 2 years, Eric Bischoff isn't in control anymore.
Yeah, and then it becomes New Blood Rising.
That's much better.
Yeah, where it's not at Sturgis.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the next match.
I enjoyed the New Blood. We'll get to that.
So this is the give a kid a break match. That's what I called this one.
I just thought of a bad joke about Make-A-Wish Foundation in 6. Oh, but
Jesus.
Like, this was, you know,
this is his Make-A-Wish Foundation.
This is his wish.
Jeez.
But well, I mean, look at it this
way. I don't want to besmirch the actual Make-A-Wish kids because those kids deserve.
Oh, yeah. You know,
and a little bit more than, September, October, November, December, February, March. Yeah, he's got a little bit more than 7 months. He'll have left WCW and gone back to WWE.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, he, shit. Also, you know that night that they had, that he came out and then the Outlaws joined. That was in Hampton. I had tickets to that. I didn't get to go.
Oh.
I had to go out of town for a death in the family. So I wasn't upset.
Right.
But at the same time, after watching it, I was like, man.
Mm. You missed the debut of X-Pac!
Is that the one with the where they drove around with the Jeep and all that?
No, that was, that was a year later.
That was like a year later.
Okay.
No. That was the one I missed. I'm sorry. Because I had tickets to the show at the Hampton Coliseum. And then Nitro was in town. It was the same year.
Scope.
Yep. Mm. That was fun.
All right, then.
My bad.
Now we've gone down memory lane.
Mm.
Any other shows you've missed?
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Did you want to
listen to me continue talking about it?
Yeah.
So we don't have to talk about this fucking pay-per-view anymore?
He also had tickets to Captain and Tennille that he missed once.
See, once again, just because I've been drinking doesn't mean that you have to be a cock.
Oh, you know what we haven't hit yet that we need to? Because God bless Bobby Roode.
You know whose music that was supposed to be?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Which I'm so glad they changed it.
Yeah, that would not have worked for him. No. I really like Shinsuke's music. And he does those hand things.
Yeah, Shinsuke's crazy.
I wish him well in his future endeavors here. And he's going to beat up Dolph Ziggler here soon because Dolph doesn't win.
That's okay. They've got to get him some a legitimate match, let him have his match. So come SummerSlam, they can pit him against AJ Styles or Kevin Owens. And just have a fucking fantastic bomb-ass match.
Can we review that, Tony?
Sure.
Please.
What, Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, we never did talk about what we're going to do next. You always do that.
Now's a good time.
No. No, just, all right.
We can just gloss over going. This match.
Keep going.
I will. Yeah, spoiler alert, it sucks.
I kind of glossed over it, too.
Alright, so after much of Six being a pain in the ass to Ric Flair, Flair decided to announce the new member of the Horsemen, but Six came out. Flair told him that he was just too much man for him, and he didn't want to mess with him anymore, and he's leaving. And Six is like, yeah. So Flair beat him up.
Well, he deserved it, because he's Six.
And that's pretty much all they're doing leading up to Six versus Flair. Flair has in recent weeks, has been trying to recruit Kurt Hennig to become a Horseman. Bowing to him, saying, hey, we're going to do it. Now, it's funny.
Probably not a good idea.
In the Go Home Nitro, he comes to Kurt Hennig and says, look, I know you're worried about your wife finding out that you're hanging out with Ric Flair, and that's okay. So what we're going to do is, we're getting Mongo, we're getting Benoit, Chris is getting 5 girls, he's getting 5 girls, you're getting 5 girls. I'm like, you fucking idiot.
Wow.
Way to just ruin it. Like, if the big thing holding him up is his wife.
It's not anymore.
Telling the world that he's going to give him 5 girls tonight isn't helping.
No, probably not.
But I digress. Let's get back to Six.
Moving on.
The match starts, and it's funny that Six has gotten a feud with Flair here. I wonder how he got that, Kevin Nash. Six does some of his martial arts skills, which honestly have always looked really bad to me. I wonder if he's actually legitimately trained in any kind of martial arts.
Probably fucked around a little bit. Everybody has a little bit, you know.
But it's awful. Well,
some of his kicks, like when he wants to throw them, aren't bad.
Yeah, he's flexible.
Not very often.
He probably did a couple things.
Better. He was a lot better when he was a 1-2-3 kid.
Yeah.
Before he discovered cocaine.
I don't know. I just think his kicks and stuff suck. You know what else sucks? It's his thug on his tights.
Yeah.
The motherfucker is from Minnesota. So let me get this straight. Is he gangbanging out of Lake Minnetonka?
Did you look up Lake Minnetonka?
No. I knew that from Prince, Purple Rain. I even have it in here.
Okay.
Lake Minnetonka.
Well, Prince was a fucking pimp, so I don't want
to
hear that.
He wasn't. He didn't have thug written on his stomach.
He didn't have to.
Gang. No, he had.
He was 4'11". He had to be a thug.
No, he had Vanity and Apollonia on each arm. He was fine.
Game. Blouses.
And he smoked Charlie Murphy in basketball. And then made pancakes.
Challenge him.
Charlie Murphy!
See how we don't have to talk about this match?
May he rest in peace.
We still haven't gotten to the match yet.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just get the ending.
All right, so the match starts, and Flair gets his shit in. Six takes over and gets his shit in.
That's it.
He hits a Bronco Buster, which Tony Schiavone calls one of his premier maneuvers.
Yeah.
It's also very degrading. He does say that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this does have a great quote that I totally forgot about. Very beginning, Dusty is talking, and Bobby is saying something. And I don't remember what Bobby was saying. But you hear Dusty say, Tony, I'm going to slap the snot out of him. Talking about Dusty, and I'm like, Yes, sir. That's great.
All right. So, yeah. Everybody gets their shit in. Finish comes when Six goes for the Buzz Killer, which is a cross-faced chicken wing. I love that move, by the way. Bob Backlund. Love to have you on the show. But Flair drives him into the corner. Six drops him for whatever reason and goes for the Bronco Buster, but gets a foot right in the yam bag.
The old yam bag.
The old yam bag. And then in another shot that's heel versus heel makes it quite certain, Flair pins him with putting his feet on the ropes. So that solidifies our third heel versus heel match. I didn't mind this match. I thought it was good, and seeing that it ended in Six getting kicked in the nuts, I gave it 3 finger pokes.
Look, I can't give a match with Six 3 finger pokes. I just can't. With every fiber
of... Unless it's a coffin
match. You know
what?
Unless he's dead. No. I will argue this is probably one of his best matches that he's had, and I think it's all Ric Flair.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but...
Like, you're watching the match. When you watched the match, it had logical build, and they told a good story, and it was all Ric Flair.
Point being is I just can't bring myself...
You just don't like 123-pound
kick? I can't give him 3 finger pokes. That being said, I'm going to give him 2.
And 9 tenths.
I'm going to give this match 2 finger pokes because it's not the worst match in the card.
No,
the worst match in the card doesn't get 2. It's at 1.5 currently.
Wow. But we haven't gotten to the main event yet, so.
We'll talk about that.
This match had two counts in it.
That's it.
As far as I could tell. And I gave it 2 pokes.
Wow, I overshot this match, I guess.
I thought, despite 1-2-3 being in it, it was a fair match, I guess.
See?
But, again, like you were both saying, I don't know whether it's X-Pac rising to the occasion or Flair just going, look, I'm going to make you look good because I'm the best wrestler ever.
Right. He's not the best wrestler ever.
Yeah, he's up there.
He's up there. He's not the best ever. That's Shawn Michaels.
Well, he's of the lineage of Shawn Michaels.
He's not the lineage of Shawn Michaels.
He is the lineage of Shawn Michaels. He paved the way. Shawn copied him to a degree.
To a degree. Why not? We'll get to that later.
Don't you say this? Don't we say this all the time? The lineage is Ric Flair to Shawn Michaels to Chris Jericho to... Well, now we're getting into the gray parts. But you know what I'm saying.
So who's next after Chris Jericho? Who took the reins?
AJ Styles.
I would say AJ Styles. Mm. Or Finn Balor.
Balor and Nakamura are probably the next ones.
Or after AJ, yeah.
Well, in this federation,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can discount what Okada and Omega are doing over there.
Oh, Kenny Omega's fucking amazing. You don't know who that is, but
no,
you should
don't.
Watch some of his shit.
Speaking of which, Okada Omega 2 is coming.
Oh,
in June.
You need to watch that match.
Really?
Like, here's what I want you to do: watch the main event of this pay per view, and then watch that match.
That match is like an hour
the main
fucking
event.
Long.
Is this again?
You'd be like, is this the same fucking sport?
I'd rather watch Glow before I watch this main event again.
Okay, so...
I liked Glow. All right, so the next match... Well, first we get more shots of bikers because Sturgis.
Yeah, I hear they're around somewhere.
Yeah. I actually hear motorcycles now.
No, I don't hear them. Do you hear them, do you? I think he's...
All right, I got to...
He's going...
I hear a horn.
I picked a hell of a day to stop sniffing glue.
Ever seen a grown man naked?
You get it?
I picked a hell of a day to stop drinking.
There you go. Airplane. All right, so... Kurt Hennig versus Diamond Dallas Page.
I called this
one... Oh, my goodness... Kimberly.
We're going to get to that.
She just...
I called this one the Battle of the Sun In. Remember Sun In? The little shit you sprayed in your hair to make it blonde? That's what I called this one.
Yeah.
All right, so... Kurt Hennig ended up being Diamond Dallas Page's mystery partner last month, who turned on him, because... Why not? Hennig has been floating around, and the Horsemen have been recruiting him, but he has yet to fully commit to them.
Yeah, which should have been warning signs to everybody in WCW. You know where his ass is going.
Right. Speaking of them, Diamond Dallas Page has just abruptly put his feud with Macho Man Randy Savage on hold and wants to settle this shenanigans here with Kurt Hennig.
It was shenanigans.
Shenanigans. A shout out to Conor McGregor. All right. So first out comes Diamond Dallas Page with Kimberly. Go ahead, DJ.
Man. Oh, man. There was a bright spot in this match. There were two of them. And it was Kimberly.
And what does Dusty say?
I don't know. He
says,
was flabbergasted,
says,
I think.
That was worth the price of admission.
He's not wrong.
He is not.
Especially considering admission was free.
Well.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know what? Here's what I always say. When you see a fine woman, I'm talking about a fine woman, you look at her right there, and there's some guy somewhere that is sick of her shit.
That's fine.
That's Chris Rock. Chris Rock's a little... I don't want to steal his stuff, and I give him credit, but okay. That's true.
I mean, that's all true.
And you know who that person is? Diamond Dallas Page, because they're divorced.
Ouch.
So, he's sick of her shit. Or she's sick of his shit. That'll wet
you. Maybe it's mutual sick of mutual shit.
So you know what else is a thing now? This is a reason why you should start watching Nitro. Because no one has just started?
The Nitro Girls.
The Nitro Girls. Where they dance.
I love how you say I should watch Nitro. And I just got done fucking telling you, hey, I watched the Nitros.
I was talking to Tony.
Well, why did you look at me?
Because I'm
usually... Jackass.
Damn. Hostility.
You know I love you, John.
You know what?
You know what? Let me take that love back. It's coming back.
All right. So the match starts with DDP pulls Heyman out of the ring, and he starts a clobbering because he wouldn't let DDP in the ring.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed about Heyman?
He's got hair.
He's
fucked up.
He's getting a little pudgy. So is somebody else later. We'll get to that too.
Is it the giant?
No.
Okay. All right. So they're in the ring now, and they're smacking. Stop it. They're smacking each other around. DDP swings Henning around by his hair, and then talks shit to him.
Henning There's does a lot of shit talking in this pay per view.
And Henning does the old "I'm gonna slide out of the ring to run away," but crotches himself. I've always hated this spot, hated it for years. For someone who's supposed to be Mr. Fucking Perfect, you should not be sliding out and hitting your yam bag on the post.
Yam bag.
Yeah, you know, his nuts.
No, I got it.
Alright, so they trade advantages until Henning ends up in control, which upset the bikers because they start revving their engines and honking the horns really loud.
Mm.
So then we get our first ref bump as Henning takes off the turnbuckle pad and he's having a hard time doing it. So he just kind of like yanks it down and moves it around, but it's still kind of there. And he slams DDP, who catches it right between the eyes.
Get the old blading going.
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
That was a good one, too. He's...
He got a little juice, if you will.
And they didn't really show it as much. They pulled away. Because at first I was like, he's bleeding? And then I saw it, I was like, oh, but they're not going to go in close like they used to do, you know?
And now Henning tells us, and now we're going to see a Henningplex. Which doesn't have the same effect.
No, not it really doesn't.
And here's the worst part of it. DDP kicks out. I fucking hate that. In a move like the Cradle Suplex, the Perfect Plex, Henningplex, if you will, you should never kick out of that. That's a finisher. You're locked up.
You don't kick out of finishers unless it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, major pay-per-views.
So Henning goes for the turnbuckle again, but it's blocked, and it's reversed. DDP goes for a neutralizer, which Cesaro's like, I like it.
I do like it.
And we get our second ref bump. So as he's bringing up Kurt Henning, the ref gets kicked in the face because, you know, he's a professional wrestling referee and stands in the wrong spot to get kicked during a pile driver or a neutralizer, if you will. And we get ref bump number two. DDP hits the neutralizer this time and Flair comes out but gets cut off by Diamond Dallas Page, who hits him and then hits the diamond cutter. Our finish comes off Flair, the Flair distraction. Henning hits another Perfect Plex, but this time he gets the three. Tony, what'd you think?
It had 7-2 counts. The head slam on the turnbuckle was terrible. Like, it wasn't even close. Match, I thought, was, for the most part, was kind of weak. I didn't think DDP and Kurt had any kind of chemistry, really. Kurt's a good wrestler, but he has very little personality. He's kind of like a less techie Malenko.
Less techie Malenko.
Yeah.
Wow, those two have a hell of a match.
DDP's great. He's always great. And he always gives it his full... I gave it two finger pokes. It's in the middle.
All right, that's not bad. To me. Danny J.
I wanted to like this match more, but...
That's what I said.
It's just... Yeah. I don't know, for some reason, Kurt Henning has lost a lot of steam for me, you know, and I knew when he turned on DDP that he was ultimately going to end up where he does, and I won't spoil it for people who haven't watched it, Tony. So
or we'll watch
people
it.
People who haven't watched it, Tony.
So I knew where it was going, and I was just like, you know, I don't give a fuck about this match. But
you can really tell when people are doing something that they love or doing something for a paycheck. And that's what I got from him.
Yeah, he's throwing it in.
Yeah.
So, at this point, it's at this point in the pay-per-view, I'm like, man, it was when I sent you that message. I can't believe I still have to finish watching this terrible pay-per-view because I'm about over it. I'm sorry. I didn't stutter. So
I love the Steiner Brothers.
Again, the worst match on this card. I got 1.5 finger pokes. So I'm going to give this 2.
I didn't like this match either. I thought this was going to be, like, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this could be the match tonight. Probably will be. And then I watched it and I said, damn.
Yeah.
This was not a good match. I didn't like it. These guys just did not have any chemistry. And that was the problem. They didn't have any chemistry. I don't know if it was that Mr. Perfect was phoning it in or what. But DDP has been putting on great matches as of late. And I was really let down by this. And I gave it 2.5.
There was a good scene. There was a good part. I don't remember it exactly, but there's a good part where Dusty's not talking, and I think it's Tony. He goes, blah 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 blah. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Dusty? And he's like, yeah. And then he kind of talks a little bit, but you can tell they're getting a little pissed that Dusty's somewhere else. He's like, I'm not watching this stupid fucking match.
Could have been. He's like, what's Cody doing? Someone tell me what Cody's up to. By the way, love him as the American Nightmare. He has really hit something.
I gotta tell you. It took me, I don't know if I've said this before, but it took me a little bit before I finally got what they meant by that. Because I was like,
he's American Dream.
It took me a while.
The first time he did it.
And then finally I was like, oh, that's fucking good.
Yeah, as soon as he came out as American Nightmare, I was like, I see what you did there. I like it.
I'd never heard this before until just now, and I just got it.
Especially, as, you know, when he comes out as American Nightmare, he has a tattoo on his chest as his dream. Mm-hmm. His dad.
Aw.
Well, you know, his dad died, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to this. So Gene is here with the hotline.
Uh-oh.
He's going to tell you about some... What's that number, Tony?
1-900-909-9900. Watch Carrot Top versus Billy Bob.
Did you write that down? Or did you know it?
I know it, but I wrote it down.
I mean, kids, you know, it's 1:59 a minute. Get your parents' permission before calling.
Moving on. Fall Brawl commercial hits next.
I love Fall Brawl.
Because why?
War Games.
War Games.
Steel cage.
That's right.
Again, what I told you before, WCW has a habit of every other pay-per-view is pretty good until they get to the end of the year. Then it's like War Games, Halloween Havoc, World War III, Starrcade.
Boom. Starrcade. Look forward to Starrcade, Tony. You're going to love that shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude. We're going to talk about Starrcade.
Yeah, we get to it. So Eric Bischoff has a video package where he warns Lex Luger. Moving on.
On his bike, because Eric Bischoff is badass.
Does he ride a motorcycle?
Yeah, he does.
The whole reason they go to Sturgis, man.
No, I know. Okay. I'm kidding, because all he does is pose as a fucking motorcycle guy. And I'm like, dude, get a life.
That, and he promotes Buffalo Bill Cody beer.
Yeah. He may make beer.
He'd be at Bash at the Beach with a fucking leather jacket on. We get it, dude. You like motorcycles.
All right, so our next match is Giant versus Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm like, fuck yeah, Macho Man. The build for this match isn't really anything special. It's more NWO versus WCW. Giant hates NWO. Macho Man's NWO. Macho Man's feuding with DDP. DDP's got some shit he needs to work out with Kurt Hennig. Put them together. I say okay.
Giant also apparently hates ring music.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He didn't have any.
He had ring music when he was in the Dungeon of Doom, but it was a Dungeon of Doom.
But like
music.
Nothing? You're not going to play anything?
And then he uses... Luger's when he's with him.
Oh, okay.
But he just doesn't have music.
Yeah, it's weird. That was just really weird. He walks out and I'm like,
well, I mean, they're still semi pushing the whole like Son of Andre bullshit, and Andre never had music either.
Oh, really?
And you know what I really liked, honestly, is as Giant's walking down, they're revving the motorcycle engines. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, that should be his music.
There's him, people revving man.
That needs to go, well,
it's the beast slow. He's real, real slow tonight.
All right, so the match starts. And Giant chases Macho out of the ring as he enters. Macho starts and Macho is outside. Giant fakes like he's going to jump the ropes to go after him, but no one believed that shit. Macho pulls Liz in front of him. Giant looks away and Macho jumps in the ring and he attacks. And for some fucking reason, Macho goes for a body slam because...
He's dumb.
Yeah, why not?
Reasons. Giant takes over and starts to club him.
Is this about the point where he rips his shirt off?
Yes.
Okay. This is what I was saying. Something about Macho Man, he probably needs to tell Slim Jim, you know, I don't mind, you know, doing that for you
why?
Anymore.
Why? Because...
Yeah, he's getting a little soggy around the midsection.
He's getting a little raspy wearing the shirts.
Yeah, I mean, then I think at some point he realizes, oh shit, I need to get back in shape. And then it's like, hey Hogan, who's your roid guy from the mid-90s? I need to speak.
Well, brother,
you need to give me a little of those Slim Jim too.
Steiner ball. That,
baby, yeah.
I don't know if Macho Man ever did steroids, but I'm just going to say, as he got older, he got big.
And massive.
Yeah.
And meaner.
So Giant throws Macho in.
Died of a heart attack while
in the ring, over the top. Shut up. In the top. Over the top rope from the floor, which is pretty cool. Crowd popped big time for when he picked up Elizabeth. And I'm thinking, hoping, please tell me she's got shorts underneath that.
No.
You're welcome.
I hate you. So Macho Man takes over, and he's attacking the legs, which is really good idea. Big giant guy, attack his legs. The finish comes when the giant catches Macho out of nowhere with a choke slam, hits him for three, and then just fucking walks away.
I feel like that was not the original finish. I think something happened at some point. Somebody was like, dude, something's wrong. Something's not right. We need to do this and end it. And
he's like, go home.
Yeah, that's what they did. Because that looked like out of nowhere. Like, no, I don't know if I'd say that that was supposed to happen. So
I don't know. But it was a little abrupt. Again, it was like, okay.
No, okay.
All right, so Tony. No, you just went last time. DJ. Sorry to cut you off there, Tony.
Okay.
Again. Not a horrible match. I mean, I wasn't totally offended by it, but it wasn't, you know, great. At this point, I mean, you have to pull a 5-star match out of your ass to even get me to get excited about it. So, again, the worst match on the card is a 1.5 finger pokes. I can't do any worse than that, so 2.
I gave it we had 1-2 count in it. And I watched, you know, I was the same as you guys. I watched it. I was like, okay. It was like, oh, what? It's a simple match. Pretty lackluster. But I did like seeing Macho Man actually just wrestle without interference, without NBA players, no spray paint, nothing of that shit. Just actually wrestling. That was kind of cool. It was funny. Tony says, he needs to walk it off or something. And Dusty's like, you can't walk it off when someone's a ripping and a stomping in you or some shit like that. It's great. I gave it 2 pokes. So, you all seem pretty simpatico with this pay-per-view.
This wasn't a great match. Considering we had Macho Man, he's a bad guy. I love bad guy Macho Man. I think he's probably one of the best heels ever. Everybody says Ted DiBiase, but I think maybe Macho Man's probably my best heel, favorite heel ever. He's top 5.
He's top 5, yeah.
He'd make your top 15, I'm sure.
He'd make my top 5, jackass.
It's a quality pick.
It's a quality pick. This was an alright match, and this puts WCW ahead 3-1 against NWO. So the best NWO could do is a tie.
Except, never mind.
I gave it 2 finger pokes. All right. Got nothing further on that. All right. Good.
Nope.
I thought you had more. Our co-main event of the evening.
Uh oh.
The Outsiders versus.
Uh oh.
I gotta tell you, when I remembered what was next, I was like, all right, hopefully something better than what I've seen.
and you know what? I figured it out, and I'll tell you after my review. Steiners have been working their tails off to earn a title shot against those dastardly Outsiders who've been putting obstacle after obstacle in their way, and the noble Rick and Scott have been doing everything they can to win the WCW Tag Team titles. And here we find out, after all of their hard work, Nick Patrick is the fucking referee. But good news, he's all probation now, because now he's WCW. After, you know, like last month he was...
But he still needs to watch his P's and Q's.
His pints and quarts?
Sure. Or his pins and qualifications.
No, P's and Q's is pints and quarts.
We're trying to make it less than
that. Oh. Yeah, so quit your drinking. Go ahead.
Look at his face!
DJ's not very stoked about this match.
Every time he's like, why?
No, I'm sitting here listening to you just about Scott Steiner and Rick Steiner, and I'm like...
To be fair, I'm about Kevin Nash and Scott
Hall. I know.
Okay.
There's so much vacuum noises. There's like Hoovers on the other side of this fucking table. And I'm just like...
You could say... Road Warriors, you can say Dudleys, you could say Edge and Christian, Hardys, I don't care. The best tag team of all time is the fucking Steiner Brothers.
No.
There's a short hope. I always had a short hope for, we should. The World's Greatest Tag Team, I had the earmark, was like, they could do something, but they didn't. Like, what the hell's the name? American Alpha. They could do something, but they're not going to do it with them either.
It's because they're not over.
I know. They should be, though. They're so fucking good. Anyway, so Trillionaire Ted comes out alone. And we think, oh no, something's wrong. They've beaten up the Steiner brothers again. But nope, they come out on motorcycles because it's Sturgis.
Yeah, so right then I was like...
Dan J, hit the button for me. Come on, you want to do it.
What?
Steiner line, never mind.
No, I don't want to hit the button.
You want to hit the button.
No.
So the match starts.
You know what? I do want to
hit the button. Don't hit the button. Don't hit that button. Dick.
I want to hit that button.
You know what? When the Steiner brothers come out and makes the pay-per-view... Stop it! You're hitting my butt. Ow! All right, so Scott and Scott start the match. You can put them in whatever order you want, but it's both Scott's.
It doesn't matter.
Hall does a toothpick gimmick and throws it at Scott Steiner, which I don't think was a good idea because it looked like he slapped him pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if he just really slapped him. Anyway, so Hall with an early advantage on Scott Steiner, but he takes over, and it's a little suplex city that would make Brock Lesnar go, I like it.
There were some good suplexes in this match.
Melee comes in, and Rick, and we get some class. We get some Rick Steiner stuff. We get the classic Steiner pose. Rick and Hall are in the ring now, and then he brings in Big Kevin Nash. Tony knows business is about to pick up.
Hell yeah!
And he does his Nash thing. He sells that it's a big deal that he's finally in the ring, and everybody should be excited because he's in the ring. He gets the advantage over Rick and gets his Nash hit in. The dog-faced gremlin is able to suplex Nash. Whether he wants to or not, he was getting suplexed. And he tags in the Big Bad Booty Daddy. Not long after that, the Outsiders take control again. Bobby, look at the shoulders and neck on that man. He's immense. Immense. And Dusty, he's big too. Dusty and Bobby are far more sober this year and not as entertaining. I can see why Nash's reputation at this point for only having 4 or 5 moves, because he really doesn't deviate from those 4 or 5 moves.
He doesn't.
And you look at the two and you're like, wow. You watch Hall get in the ring and say, Hall's a hell of a wrestler. He's not bad.
Hall really is.
How did he not win the world title ever? Oh, too many moves. That'll do it. So mostly punches out there at times, and these guys are working their asses off, and it shows. Except for Nash, who's only doing his 5 moves of doom. they hold Rick and don't let him tag in, don't let him tag in, don't let him tag in. Scott finally gets the tag, and they beat the shit out of everybody. They go for their Steiner Bulldog and hit it. Nash is on the outside. We get a 1-2. Nash pulls Nick Patrick out of the ring, and the bell is called. The Steiner music hits. DiBiase grabs the title belt, brings him into the ring, except no, nay, nay. They're not the champions. Nick Patrick takes the titles and says it was a disqualification, gives the titles back to the Outsiders. That son of a bitch is still NWO. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it.
He has to do what he has to do.
He's a fucking douchebag.
He's not NWO.
Yeah, well,
not for life.
For life.
He's for a little while.
So, I had high hopes for this match because I thought if you put Scott Hall and the Steiner brothers in a match, they're going to get you something out of it. Horrible, horrible, horrible finish. If they're going to schmoz the finish, there was a better way to do it. So I only gave it 2 finger pokes, but any match with the Steiner brothers gets a 1/2 finger poke bonus from me. So, 2.5 finger pokes. Danny J? Tony? Anybody want to talk about this? You're both quiet. Someone go.
All right, so...
I should leave the room
for this. It was a decent match. You know, it wasn't great. They had a good chemistry with the whole Scott trying to get him to tag, trying to get a tag, trying to get a tag, and couldn't allow it, and he was in there forever. It did tell a pretty good story. I originally gave it 3 finger pokes, but to counteract you, every match that has the Steiner brothers in it, I have to take a 1/2 finger poke away, so I gave it 2.5 finger pokes.
Hey, what are you drinking there, Haterade?
Yeah.
Tony?
The match had 4 2 counts in it. My favorite thing Dusty said is he goes, everything is over that we done seen. That should be on a t-shirt. I was wondering if I was watching Halloween Havoc because all they talked about were staking Draculas and Frankensteins, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? But immediately, as soon as I saw this match, I'm stoked. I'm thinking, please, please, please don't fuck this match up by some bullshit.
Dot, dot, dot.
4 badasses in their prime. It looked like they're a lot of chemistry. Looked like they're loving it.
So you got
Scott took some serious damage in this match. I wish Rick would have got a little more time in the match, but he didn't. But other than going a little too long, I thought it was a great match. I gave it 3.5.
Wow. That's right. So the four badasses in their prime. You got Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner, Scott Hall, and Nick Patrick.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, no, I just kid. Kevin
Nash. Ted DiBiase's still. I'm sorry.
Kevin Nash actually is very good at what he does.
Well, there's not a. The thing is, there's not a lot of. Right. Well, there's not a lot of big, really good wrestlers.
No, as of the big guys that wrestle, I think he's probably one of the. He's not Undertaker, but he's good. Like, he only does 5 moves, but he does them well. Yeah. And he gets the shit in.
And how many moves does Giant have? You know,
3.
Yeah, but exactly.
Of the big guys, he's actually top tier. So,
yeah.
I
really like this.
All right, cool. So,
that's our pay-per-view. Yeah, I knew he was going to do that. All right, kids, so don't forget to give money to the Wayne Foundation. That's waynefdn.org.
I think there's
it's for
one.
The kids, and I believe the children are the.
No. Nay, nay.
Oh. Danny J, what's next?
We have to finish the pay-per-view.
I thought we just did.
No, look. At this point, it is an achievement to slog through this thing. So I'm going to watch this match. We're going to review this match because we got to this point.
Okay.
So make it quick.
Battle of the Fake Tans.
Michael Buffer's out.
And he calls it Hog Wild.
With a beret on.
Yeah, he's pretty faggy.
His nifty beret. And his white tuxedo, which they don't go together.
No.
All right, so what's funny is as Hogan's coming out, you know he's coming out to Voodoo Child, but they're playing generic NWO music
because they can't do Voodoo Child,
and it doesn't go. And and right when he does the chop it down with the edge of my hand, Voodoo Child, Hogan does that little chop, and you hear bam 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 bam, and he does this chop thing, and it just does, like, why is he chopping? But anyway, why not? So Tony says there's no entrance like Hogan's. I'm like, really? Really? There's no better entrance than fucking Hogan?
I can think of 5 that I like better.
I can think of 10. You know what? That's a fucking podcast.
That is
10 entrances that are better than Hulk Hogan.
Which is easy because the first 10 wrestlers you think of, you win.
Well, I mean,
how about top 10 wrestlers worse than Hulk Hogan? We'd be doing it for years.
That'd be
hard.
Other
to
than
do.
Max Moon.
Maybe Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Ho! Anyway.
Bastion Booger.
Passion Booger. Mantor.
Mantor.
The American Males, maybe. I don't know.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
I liked his. He banged the garbage can. All right, let's get to the match.
Make it quick.
So, they start off, and why is it that every time they have a match with Hulk Hogan, they say these are the biggest names in our sport?
They do it every time.
Every pay-per-view, they're like, these are the biggest names in our sport right here. No, he's not. It's Luger and Hogan.
They're pretty big.
Right, but they're not the biggest names in the sport. At this point, in
1997,
the biggest name
either,
in this sport is not in this company.
Shawn Michaels.
Biggest names in the sport are not in this company. Like I said, Shawn Michaels is one.
Bret Hart's the other.
Bret Hart would be the other.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, Bret Hart's coming. They'll do nothing with him. All right, so. Biggest name, blah, blah, blah. Also, this is not going to be your classic catch-as-catch-can classic because it's Hogan and Luger. So we start off with a headlock. Drop Toll Hole into a hammerlock. That's about all the wrestling you're going to get. Brawling stuff from Hogan and Luger, and they get their stuff in. Usual punching, kicking, choking. To think that the competition at this point is Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and Undertaker makes me wonder what WCW was thinking. We get the famous Hulk Hogan test of strength, which saw Luger get the better of it, but then hits him right in the yambag in front of the referee.
Well, you can
call for the bell, match over.
You can tell that they were really trying to get the crowd to give Luger some
love
pop so that he could freaking overpower him, and they're just not. They're like, we don't care.
You're Lex Luger. We don't give a shit. But yeah, Hogan hits Luger right in the nuts, and, you know, they disqualify the outsiders by pulling out a referee.
Hey, this is different referee.
But yeah, hit a guy right in the pills, and whatever.
I mean, it's Hulk Hogan.
Really? Fuck that guy. Finish comes when from out of nowhere the NWO comes out.
I mean, that's not out of nowhere. I mean, we all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
True. And here comes Sting. It's Sting with
it's
short
stink.
Hair.
Stink.
With short hair.
A mask
it's
on.
Stink.
With short hair. And hits Luger in the back with a baseball bat. Hogan hits a leg drop for 3, and motherfucker, Hogan won the belt again. Second year in a row, he won the belt at whatever Hog Wild, Road Wild, whatever you want to call it. And the outsiders and all of NWO celebrate. They leave. Out comes WCW to check on Luger. Tony?
We had 5-2 counts. My favorite part, Dusty, was we got to stand on our hindquarters and go about our business. Another good t-shirt. So, let's see. Beret sucked. Fake Sting sucked. I did kind of like when Hogan was talking trash the whole time, calling him Lex Loser and stuff. That was kind of funny.
I'll give you that one.
Then NWO ran in like you knew they were coming. I was like, okay, well, this is a shit match. And it went over. I liked when everyone was screaming, Hogan sucks. That was kind of fun. We need that as a sound bite. And then I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, so the match is over.
Hulk Hogan, you can go to
him. Chael. Straight to him. Sorry, folks. That's Chael, the fourth member of our podcast.
For the match,
he really wants to come in and tell us about how he hates Hogan.
The match is over, and I'm looking at the computer, and there's still 8 minutes left. I'm like, so what's going on? Usually it's like, oh my God, they're 1-9, and thank you for watching, goodbye.
What's
and,
it's,
and it's like 5 seconds. This, we have 8 minutes left, and nothing's happening. And Tony's like, there a fight going on in the background or something? I was like, okay, whatever. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Why are we waiting for 8 minutes?
What was the big reveal? After 8 minutes, there's like, oh, there's a fight in the back. There wasn't a fight.
No.
What happened in the back?
They inducted Conan into the NWO or something, and they spray painted NWO on the belt with Rodman.
Rodman was there. That was like, the big deal.
What the fuck? So I gave it one finger poke because I have to by law.
You don't have to. He gave a zero finger poke. I guess I should go because Danny J looks like he's got a whole lot to say about this.
We have to do a second podcast.
Stand by for the next hour. This was not a terrible match for either one of these guys. It's a terrible match if you go against other matches. If you put this up against Chris Jericho and Alex Wright, this is a shit match.
That's true. But I didn't think about that.
But
you're
what these two guys can do, this wasn't bad. Like, they did their thing. I gave it two finger pokes.
No rack. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you may proceed, mon ami.
So, first of all, this match is terrible. That being said, it's not the worst match on the card.
Wow.
No, we saw the worst match on our card. The worst match on our card was the Jeff Jarrett match with the ridiculousness. That's the worst match on the card.
And they did that to us 3 times.
Yeah.
Which I won't forget.
I agree with you that they, for what they could do, they did an okay job. And they did not do as much like last year with the bullshit, I'm going to go run outside the ring because I'm afraid of the giant bullshit that they did at Hog Wild, you know.
Stalling shit.
By the end of the match, you're just like, can you just fucking win?
Yeah.
This wasn't, it didn't offend me so much that I feel so bad that I watched it, but especially I actually felt like I achieved something when it was over because I managed to get through this turd of a pay-per-view. So, I gave it two finger pokes because, again, it's not the worst match on the card. It's close.
It's close.
But it's not the worst match on the card.
All right. So, quote of the night. Tony.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
I wasn't ready for that.
All right.
Go with DJ.
Yeah.
There was quite a few.
It's got to be for me when Dusty says, Tony, I'm going to slap the snot out of him. Talking about Dusty Rhodes, or talking about the Brain. Because Brain must have said something to him. I don't know what it was, but Dusty meant business. Because snot was going to be slapped out.
The snot was going to be slapped out of him, baby.
During the first shitty match, the McMichael and Jeff Jarrett one, there's a part where Tony is yelling for them to stop beating on one of them, I forget. And then Dusty breaks in and goes, they want to hurt him a little bit, Brain, calm down. I like that a lot. I thought that was funny.
All right, well, mine is, they were talking about Deborah from the same match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Tony or Dusty, I don't remember, says, she forgot what brought her the dance. And Bobby times in, yeah, but she can get her ride home.
That was pretty good.
That's mine. All right, match of the night. Tony, give it to me.
The Steiners versus the Outsiders. That's me.
Wow, that's a quality match right there. I support that. Danny J.
Conan versus Rey Mysterio.
Conan versus Rey Mysterio.
It was the least offensive match on the card for me because there was no bullshit finish. There was no, you know, BS everybody else coming out and getting involved. It told a pretty good story. The two guys worked very well. And it was the least offensive match. That's what I'm going to go with.
I'm going to surprise you not go with the Steiner Brothers. because of the finish. Hated the finish. Anything would have, I don't care if the Steiners win, lose, or draw. That finish was just no good. It wasn't logical. I'm going to go with Alex Wright versus Chris Jericho for the match of the night.
Because Chris Jericho's becoming Y2J.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's getting there. So that's the match of the night. And it wasn't, you know, the best match ever, but it was the best match on the fucking card.
It was bad. So, I mean, all of us.
All right. So, overall thoughts, pay-per-view, Danny J? All right, got it. You hated it. Go ahead.
No, this was right up there with Hog Wild the previous year as the worst turd that we have watched so far. They really need to abandon Hog Wild, Road Wild, the fuck you want to call it. I know we still got two more years of it, and I know we have... isn't there one with fucking Jay Leno and...
Jay Leno and Hogan. No, Jay Leno and
DDP. Carl Malone versus... coming in at some point, too. So...
you either need to shit or get off the pod. You need to either go in there hard with this biker shit and do some crazy biker shits and with biking matches and do this big theme, get everybody excited... Or stop doing this half-assed, hey, we're just going to kind
of... Bring in the Disciples of Apocalypse.
We're going to kind of do a little bit of a match.
They're busy.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's probably the worst thing going on in WWF right now is the gang wars.
Yeah. So, Tony, you were saying, go ahead. Yeah.
You're right.
Should have got off the pot.
Yeah, that's it.
I agree. This was... it seemed like they were just like, hey, anybody wants to come to Sturgis can come. We'll throw together some matches, whatever. The only thing that really, I think, they had planned was Luger versus Hogan. Everything else was just kind of, they threw it together. It just didn't seem like they tried very hard.
No.
Like other pay-per-views you watch, you know, it may not have been very good, but at least they were trying.
And you can tell with the wrestlers, too. None of the wrestlers gave a shit, except the ones that always give a shit. You know, DDP's always awesome. He didn't give a shit what's going on. He's always going to bring it. You know, the Steiners did good. Outsiders did good. But the ones that need a little bit more, you know, Jericho was awesome, but... Other guys are like, yeah, I'll throw you around for a little while, I guess, and get my check, and then I'm out.
All right, guys. So, Tony, what's next? What are we doing next?
Next we are, I don't know, I have no idea.
Why the hell are we asking him? I thought I'd ask him to see what he said.
All right, so, again, ladies and gentlemen, we have not talked about this.
Yeah, because we really don't plan like we should.
Not at all.
So, because we haven't talked about this, I'm going to throw something at him out of the blue that they're not expecting.
Oh, God.
Keep in mind that this took place... August 9th.
1997.
A little bit less than 1 week before WWF's pay-per-view of August, which is SummerSlam 1997. Which I could argue is probably one of the most important pay-per-views that ever existed.
Steve Austin versus Owen Hart.
Shawn Michaels as a guest referee against Bret Hart versus The Undertaker.
Right, I'm with you.
So, there, I could go with that. So, I think... Let's take a look at what's going on at the competition and see what they're doing. Because, obviously, hey, SummerSlam just happened. We got to have a great fucking, Road Wild. So
you want to switch channels, huh?
I want to switch channels. Let's watch WWF's SummerSlam 1997.
Is Shawn Michaels in it?
He is. He's a referee. He doesn't wrestle. He doesn't wrestle. He's a referee.
Yeah, this is...
But he's very important in it because it ends up leading to one of the best feuds of all fucking time. One of his two best feuds.
Hell in a Cell?
I mean, that feud goes on for years, just like the one that ends up going after that, which ends in Montreal later that year. So we're going to do...
I hear that goes well for everybody involved.
It does. So, we're going to do SummerSlam 1997.
Wow, SummerSlam 97, didn't see that coming.
Okay.
I thought he was going to go to top 10 after all those top 10.
No, all the top 10 talk.
All right, guys.
We'll do a top 10 soon.
So, again, make sure you give money to waynefdn.org because it's for the children's.
And you know, Tony, about the children?
That they're our future.
There you go. That's every, right. Every week.
Let them lead the way?
That's right.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside?
That's right.
Give them a sense of pride?
How you doing?
And make it easier. How you doing? All right, if we can get Enzo in here, we'd love to have him.
Yeah, really.
So, all right, so you guys got anything else you can get out of your chest?
No.
All right, guys, tell two friends, have them tell two friends, and thank you, Doom Nation. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening every 2 weeks whenever we put this up. And don't forget, as always, treat your mother right. Thank you.
something to eat. Tea is for the time that she stayed up at night and took my temperature when I wasn't feeling right. X is for the hard-earned money she spent to keep clothes on my back and try to pay the rent. E is every wrinkle I put on her face and every worry that I caused when I stayed out late. The last letter R is that she taught me respect and for the room up in heaven that I know she'll get. Mother, there is no other.